Welcome to the Cemetery Chronicles, hosted by two friends who manage cemeteries in the Twin Cities. This podcast takes you behind the gates and into the unique world of cemeteries. Join us as we share heartfelt stories, unexpected humor, and the profound moments that come with a career dedicated to honoring life and legacy. From the Paradise Picture Studio, here are your hosts, Dominic Pierre and Bobby Schoenrock.
Hey, Bobby, how's it going?
Good, how are you?
Doing well. We are, I don't even know what episode we're on.
24, I think.
24, that sounds about right, about a half year in. That's pretty crazy. But here we are, and we're in the middle of July, just getting floating away. You're ready to build an ark. I don't know. What are you thinking?
Yeah, weird day today. Just muggy, hot, humid, rain, no rain, rain, no rain. I mean, you went outside, and it was like we were in the Amazon jungle almost.
Insane. Yesterday was just the same, which is maybe we'll give a teaser out there, but you and I, we were going on a little road trip to go take a peek at some locations for future association conferences, specifically 2026, the year 2026, and not to give locations away, but we went to a location where it was like no humidity and pretty cool, and then we got back here, and it was crazy hot.
It was gross, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, today was just like I said, like the Amazon jungle. I mean, it was just thick and humid and muggy, and then it would rain, and then the sun would come out, and then it would rain, and the sun would come out. Yeah. It didn't know what it wanted to do today, I don't think.
No, I agree. Well, I mean, I don't really know. I was in the office all day, so I was watching the weather from my window.
Being like, oh, I'm so happy I don't work outside anymore because I don't have to get soaked. Because our guys were out, we're working, all of a sudden, oh, it looks like it's going to rain. They start heading down, and they get drenched because it just opened up. And
yeah, we had a funeral this morning, and I went out there to go check on it about an hour and a half before. It was a cremation, so it was our setup, and they had everything set up, and I was just looking at radar, and it looked like it was supposed to downpour right about the time, and I was just calling my guys on the radio, hey, can we possibly set up a tent, just get it over this? Yeah, sounds good. So, I mean, literally 5 minutes later, it was downpouring. We had to change out. We have covers on the chairs and everything was just soaked. We had to change it all out, but it is what it is. You don't know what it's going to be. And days like today where it literally was sunny 1 second, downpouring the next, and sunny the next second, downpouring the next. It was really an odd day, and I bet you we probably got a couple inches of rain. It was coming down hard.
Yeah. I actually had a monument dealer call this morning and say, hey, I'm coming from out west. Is there any chance I can come and set a monument today? I need to back in.
Nope.
I said, well, I'm looking out the window and it's pouring out right now, so that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not raining here. It is here, and you're not going to be backing in anywhere. I go, it rained yesterday, rained the day before.
So that's a good question. So what's the specific size where it's like it's mandatory that they have to back in? They can't cart a monument in.
You're asking the wrong guy, because I've carted in monuments that are the same size as I am. So,
oh, I see.
I don't think there is a size that, and I watched a company that I asked them, do you need to back in? And the guy says, no. I said, well, that's good, because there's a bunch of graves around there and we would have had to try to maneuver it.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, it's just a peanut, but it had a cap.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, well, what? I went over to him after, and I said, what the heck, man? I said, I don't want to make you guys have to lift that cap up.
Yeah.
I said, I would have, we could have figured something out here. And he goes, wow, that's fine. And I mean,
they just manhandled it?
They manhandled. Well, we've done it too, right?
Wow.
We've put them in the back of one of our UTVs or our John Deere Gator and then drove it up there and parked on top and then lifted it out of there. But these guys pulled that thing. Two-wheeler, slid it up the two-wheeler, set the two-wheeler down, and then lifted it up. And I'm like, that's a long way to go.
Wow.
But for me, like, if you have a 3 foot to a 3'6", like, you can wheel that in.
Yeah.
Like, come on. And especially if you have the correct cart, which our cart's from 1930, I think. And I wheel stuff in with that cart. And if I can get stuff in with that cart, you should be able to get stuff in.
Does it have like four wheels, four rubber tires?
No,
there?
It's
just
two. It's
got two.
Yeah. It's from like 1940.
Yeah,
legitimate. Yeah. It's like a tube. But it's all metal all the way up. And then I've got a couple boards that there's a couple metal cross members, and I've got the flat bolts. like a hex bolt kind of, and screwed on with some like 1x1 oak pieces, to have on there, and then that's what I use. So it's light, But they these carts they make now, I mean, you should be able to handle anything and everything.
Yeah.
But that's my opinion on it, right? And I'm not, I'm far from a bodybuilder or like I'm not the strongest person in the world, but it's all about leverage when you get to that point. And I just think some people can be lazy. But again, like I said, you're asking the wrong guy because I feel I carted in, I've carted in a lot of granite, you know, because we don't want to have to put boards down a lot of times.
Yeah.
And I don't want to ruin the grass because guess who's got to fix it? Me.
Well, you know, so if you're listening to the podcast right now, you run a cemetery and you have a monument company coming in and telling you they have to do something, just tell them Bobby from the Cemetery Chronicles says quit being lazy. Get out there with your cart. Don't back in your truck. I'm not allowing it. That's what you got to do. And then just forward them the podcast here so they can listen. And also Shone Rock Monuments in St. Paul if they want to call and complain.
I mean, but it's so true. I mean, I don't want to have to fix stuff.
Yeah.
Right. You know, we put, we doubled boards down for this giant 7-foot base, 6-foot wide die, 5-foot high. We doubled the boards down and they still sunk in. We still had to fix it.
Holy cow.
We had double boards.
Wow.
And I didn't think that, and it had been fairly dry. So that's why I'm like, you guys think you can drive wherever you want.
Yeah.
There's a prime example.
Yeah.
Double boards.
Yeah.
That's all he had on his truck. Yes, it's heavy, but it's not, you know, a mausoleum, right?
Yeah,
I mean, like, it's 7 foot. It was only, it's 8 inches thick, right?
Yeah.
So it's 14 inches wide. So it's not the heaviest thing in the world.
Yeah.
And we double planked all the way up to where it went. Granted, did go up on a hill a little bit.
Yeah.
So we knew it was going to be a little soft, especially middle of the hill.
Yeah.
Right? Towards the bottom, still left marks all the way up to the point where we had to put, you know, a little black dirt in both of them and seed it.
Yeah.
And I mean, and again, like I said, that's a time where I thought, well, if he stays in the boards, we should be fine.
Yeah.
Nope. And that's why I mean, I don't know how you guys look at it, but I just, you know, I feel like we work pretty hard to make sure our cemeteries look good.
Yeah.
That I don't need someone coming in telling me that they have to back in, because I know I've done the work. Like, it's not fun.
Yeah.
I understand that, but it's part of your job, you know?
And I look at it as well. It's like, you know what? I understand we have 1-ton trucks that are loaded with dirt that we're pulling out for burials and things like that. But A, if there is any issues, if there's ruts or something like that, we're the ones fixing it. But B, we also walk that whole terrain. We know our cemetery. We know how wet it is. We know if we can drive in without boards, and we know if we have to drive in with boards or double up the boards or whatever we have to do. And we do it because we don't want those ruts. Even small ruts are a pain in the butt, especially because you have to go with mowers over it. You're scalping then. It's just no.
Well, I can tell you for a fact that at our cemetery, when we dig a grave, it's minimum of 2 boards where the back tires sit.
Oh, yeah.
Minimum.
Yeah.
Right? Normally, we have 4 for the truck, 6 for the tractor, even when it's hard.
Yeah.
Right? Because normally, we're digging a hole the night before. We're covering it up with 6 boards anyways.
Yeah.
So that's what we have. We never dig a grave without boards, without the truck sitting on boards.
Yeah.
And we use Colorado, you know, to dig our grave.
Half-ton trucks.
So it's, you know, sprung out to a 1-ton.
Yeah.
So we put about 3 to 4 scoops on, and then go dump and come back. And sure, it takes a little longer, but we can get in anywhere.
Yeah.
A little lighter. But we've gone up and said, hey, it's soft for that. So we dug it with our Toro workmen.
Oh yeah.
Right. And then you're taking 6 loads out.
Yeah.
Takes even a little longer. But again, I don't have to come back in and fix anything when I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, so that's how I look at it.
How much you putting back on your Toro Workman? A scoop or two?
Oh, maybe? We put about 2, 2.5.
Okay.
Those things can handle a lot.
Okay.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
We actually transported when we moved, one family had only 4 graves and wanted to move. They couldn't get any more graves because everything was sold around it.
Yeah.
So moved to a different spot in the cemetery. and bought 8 graves, and we actually took the vaults, and when we dug them up, we'd put one vault in the back of our Workman and one in the back of that John Deere Gator Pro, which is just like a Workman, and that's how we transferred the vaults over, then I brought one with the tractor.
Oh, okay.
And so they had 3 people that passed, and they wanted to end up with about 6 or 8 burials. Well, they could only have 4, and they want all traditional. So they moved within the cemetery. So we'd pull one up, and I'd write the name on it, and then put it in the back of there. And those things drove those vaults with caskets all the way over, you know, maybe 100 yards, 50 yards, whatever it was, but without any problems.
Well, that's fantastic, because that's a lot of weight.
It is very surprising to me. I was like, I don't know if this is gonna work. Let's put it on, let's see, you know. And we're putting it on, I'm just waiting for the tires to blow out, and I was like, whoa, that's handling it. And then I'm like, put it in gear and drive a little bit. No problem. Like, all right, we're rolling, let's go.
Don't stop now. We're doing this
now, we gotta go.
How far were you going with it?
Like I said, probably about 50 to 100 yards. Oh, it wasn't that far away.
Okay.
And that's why I thought, well, if we can, because what we did is we dug the other ones first, then went over and dug the other ones up, and then I thought, if we can do all 3, get them over there at once and put one in, you know, the one I got hooked to the tractor goes in first, pick one up, put it in, pick one up, put it in, then fill everything in, be a lot easier.
Yeah, totally.
So that's what we did. But
well, that sounds fun. Anything else new at the cemetery? Anything fun? You cutting grass? Seems like the grass is starting to slow down for us. I mean, it's still growing, but it's not like it was.
No, it's not. It's not. I don't think it's as thick. And so it's not growing as fast. A little more weeds, you know, we talked about that. I'm annoyed with how our weed stuff, I'm just frustrated with that this year. But,
You know what you got to do? You got to do it in-house.
Yeah.
We do. And you just have a little bit more control. Our weeds, we do have crabgrass coming up, and we have a little bit of the white clover. But we're not seeing, like, I know you guys are dealing with that yellow clover, right?
The oxalis,
That's what that yellow one, yeah.
You do it in-house, you don't know what that is, huh?
Our crew does it in-house.
Oh, we hire that out, and I still know what that is. Only because they told me, but.
Well, I knew it was the yellow flower.
But, yeah, it's, I mean, you know. I mean, I come here to the Paradise Pitcher Studio here at Union.
Oh, and grounds just look fantastic.
Well, I won't get into details, but I see it. I see the clover, you know. But I go to any cemetery, you know. Like, I deliver markers all over the state of Minnesota practically, even outside the Twin Cities. Yeah. And, you know, enough, some of these smaller cemeteries that can't afford to spray, period.
Yeah.
Like, I go to some of them, and I'm thinking, holy cow, we're in trouble. And we spray, and then I see those, and I said, oh, these ones are bad too. So, I mean, there's just with a year like we had without that winter, without the snow cover.
Yeah.
I mean, we had so much winter kill, and that's what it's all from.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, without going into great detail about how profound I am when it comes to the grass and growing, but I mean, you want thick, healthy grass.
Yeah.
And when you have winter kill, guess what? There's not thick, healthy grass.
Well, no, you have. Yeah, it's exactly. You have areas that are dead, which then the weeds just thrive in that area.
Yeah. And then they go from that area and they start suffocating out everything around it.
You're exactly right. And we put in a few, I think I may have talked about it. There's a couple sections where we put automatic sprinklers in our cemetery. And those sections, and it's only been a couple of years, it's only a handful. It's like three out of, you know, 31, 33 sections we have that have it. But those sections, even for 2 years, the grass is so thick that there's no weeds. It's just there's no chance for a weed to even come up, which is ideal. That's ideal. That's what you want to have. So,
but you're on a well, right?
Yeah. We have a well, which is a game. I mean, it's totally different. Yeah. But besides being
until you run the well dry, but. My dad ran his dry at his house.
Are you serious?
Yeah, about 20, 25 years, and then they realized that they didn't go. I mean, I think they doubled the depth when they went out for the new one. So it wasn't deep enough to begin
with. Yeah. We have two drilled, and one's very deep, and the other one's actually fairly deep as well. However, one is back up. So if one went down, we can throw on the other one. Or if we need more water, we have a bigger well.
So where are they?
They're in the north side of our cemetery, like the middle north.
We
have a pump house up there.
Oh, really? I guess I never noticed.
Yeah, it's kind of hidden. But yeah, we have a pump house out there. Actually, so we have electricity out there for the pumps and whatnot. And I've been able to, since you have electricity, I have electricity in a few spots in the cemetery. So obviously by our offices, which is in one corner of the cemetery. And then kind of in the middle of the cemetery, we used to have a chapel that we tore down, 30 years ago. And there was electricity to the chapel. But they kept electricity up there. They tore down the chapel, and now we have niches and mausoleums in that area. And then on the north side of the cemetery, our pump house, we have electricity. So what I've done...
I never noticed it. That's weird.
It's crazy.
I kind of feel like an idiot that I haven't noticed.
Well, we were talking about security cameras a couple episodes ago, and obviously with electricity, you have security cameras, you have to have internet and whatnot, but we have internet at our offices, but I've found these devices that kind of they look like satellite dishes, almost small satellite dishes, and I can mount it to our office, and then I aim it towards the middle where our chapel was, and I have another small satellite dish up there, and that gets the internet up to that area, and I can have my cameras in the middle, and then I spring the internet from that area all the way up to my pump house on the north side of the cemetery, and then I have cameras up there too.
Really?
So I have, it's kind of nice to be able to have cameras around the cemetery. Actually, that's helped us immensely when we had issues with a guy who broke in our fence. I've talked about who broke through our fence in the middle of the night. I was able to follow him around the whole cemetery the whole night, where he went and where he parked his car.
That's crazy.
It is kind of fun.
Yeah.
But it's just, then you have like these spots in the cemetery. We've talked about technology that I use here, and my guys have iPads to do work orders and whatnot, and they can go to these spots and they have super fast internet and walk, just get their Wi-Fi right there in the middle of the cemetery.
That's
which is
great.
Kind of nice. Yeah, interesting, but I know not everybody can do it, but it's fun to try to mess around with.
That's
that kind
great.
Of stuff.
I mean, we just have power up at our chapel and then down at the office, and then we have power at XL does a couple lights within the cemetery, one at the chapel, one at our community mausoleum.
Do you have to pay for electricity on those?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And then XL is in charge of it. So like if the bulb goes out, we call them, they come, they replace it. It's on them.
Do they have a meter on those things?
Yes.
Or?
So it runs, but it's a power line.
Yeah.
So it runs, the line runs out the cemetery and onto the, across the street. And then the one for the chapel comes from the back of the cemetery.
Okay.
And there's a pole in one of our sections.
With a meter.
Two poles. One, two poles, and then it comes in. And the meter's somewhere along the lines there. But
actually, you'll see because you don't know where it is, but our pump house on the north side of the cemetery, you'll see there's power poles then goes on the north side of our cemetery. That goes all the way to our pump house. And the electricity on those poles only feed that pump house. There's nothing. There's no houses or anything that get off that line. So
well, sure, because that's where the protected stuff is, right?
Yeah, it's the nature centers.
Our
city's nature centers to the north of us. So there's no need for electricity over there. So we have these power lines that go on the north side of the cemetery and goes right to our pump house, and that's it.
Do you ever think about throwing, like, when you replace a marker, throw the old one into the nature center?
No.
What the heck? Are they burying people over here now?
so actually, and this is a little dangerous to put on a podcast, but like, we have a wetland that's in part of our cemetery, which means you can't touch it. You can't do anything within 100 feet. There's all these regulations to it. And we're monitored very closely because literally right on the north side of that wetland, because it's the Maplewood Nature Center, there's the Nature Center building. And that's where all the city's environmental offices are.
Oh.
They're literally right there. So they're monitoring the cemetery.
They have the binoculars going at all times.
To be honest, we have it all the time. We get it because we'll be tearing down trees or something in that area, and sure enough, I'll have somebody email me like, "Saw you're taking a tree down. You sure that's not that's within the scope of where you can do it?" Like, geez. stop it. I know what I can do and I can't do. Like, why are you sending these nasty grams, you know?
Hey, Dominic, we noticed that you cut your hair today. You get those emails, too,
you know,
from John over at the conservatory.
You know what's funny? It's funny. We had a field trip when I was a young kid. I would go because my dad's superintendent here, and we had a great horn owl that was nesting in the cemetery, and we'd go around, and my parents would come and take me and go see the great horn owl in the cemetery and listen to the thing, you know, at night.
Yeah,
so cool. And then one day, I was probably in middle school, I think, we had a field trip to the Maplewood Nature Center, and we're sitting in that building, and they're like, folks who were like leading the class or whatnot was telling us, hey, we see a great horned owl in here, but we've been searching for months trying to figure out where the thing is nesting. I have no idea. And I'm like this little kid raising my hand, like, I know. They're like, what? They're like, yeah, it's in the cemetery next door. Sure enough, next day they're over, hey, where's that great horned owl? We want to take like, we like to joke around that even though the Maplewood Nature Center is to the north of us, we have more nature in the cemetery here than they do. Speaking of that, we had a big old snapping turtle in the cemetery today, which obviously you see occasionally, but man, steer clear of those guys. Although my guys, they picked it up, put it in the back of our RTV, and drove it up towards the Maple Nature Center.
Get back over there.
Yeah, exactly. Don't
come
right
back here. We only have alive things here. Unless you want to go 6 feet under, don't come back.
Exactly. Those things are the closest things to dinosaurs, I swear, that live on this earth.
They are big and huge, and sometimes when you see them, it's like, that's not real, is it?
No, I know.
And then you go out there, you're like, yep, it is.
I know.
Well, it's a good thing your daughter wasn't out on the swing set.
Yeah, petting it. Yeah, that's a good thing. Yeah, I know, exactly. That's why I told my guys, like, hey, let's drag this thing out of here. I don't need my daughter out here going to try to pet this thing.
Well, it would have been wild if she could talk and say, Dad, come here, I'm petting this.
I
look
know.
What
oh,
I
God.
Found.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No, no.
Stop. I know. But yeah, so, but we were chatting. What do we want to chat about today? And I think we're going to kind of focus on mausoleums, above ground mausoleums.
Yeah. I mean, on our track, we had a conversation with another gentleman that was with us, and we talked a little bit about above ground community mausoleums and, you know, are they worth it to build one now?
Well, I'll tell you what. So this is an interesting conversation because obviously we have a lot of people from not just Minnesota, but around the country listening to this. I was in was it Phoenix? No, Miami area. We were down in Miami. Well, that's a different area though, too. And I thought it was Phoenix, but no, it was down in Florida. And we went by a cemetery over there, and they're constructing double-story community mausoleums where, I mean, you had to go up the stairs, and you had another, like, you had six high on the ground level, and then you went up another stairs, and you had another six high. I mean, just looked like apartment complexes, these community mausoleums, and that's all they were doing. But, I mean, maybe in Florida is a little different. They must go pretty well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, it definitely depends on where you are. I mean, I've talked to you, Dominic, about this numerous times, but, you know, where our community mausoleum is originally was laid out to be like this tiered water feature, niches, and more full community, full burial in, you know, mausoleums, like all the way down, like tons of buildings.
Yeah.
And they had these little renderings in the basement of our chapel, you know, with the little trees, like the old architects.
When is
you know?
It that they're going to put those in?
So ours got built in, started in 68 and finished in 69. But the deal was that they were going to put that first one in and see how hot and heavy it got. But this is the new, you know, this is how we as a cemetery will be able to stay open for 500 more years.
Because you're going above ground.
Because we're going above ground.
I didn't realize that was a trend that was happening in the 60s.
Yeah, so they thought for sure, like, this is going to be it, right? We're going to do the whole frontier.
Yeah.
And they got one, and like I told you, we've paid probably close to almost $1 million in interest on it. Lost money. We still have openings in that one.
Yeah.
And nothing against it, but we just don't sell them.
How many you sell a year, you think?
Luckily, if we sell like four.
Yeah, that's a
three. Not super popular. And then behind it, we have lawn crypts, double depth lawn crypts. So then they excavated that all out, put the vaults in.
Did that in the 60s too, or 60s,
correct,
or 70s.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. I think it was 68, if I remember correctly. And then they did all that. And again, this was going to be the new age, right? Yeah. You have double depth lawn crypts. You have a building that's above ground. And the front is three high. The back is four high. So you go down steps.
Yeah.
But the front and the back, every couple of them, the lower ones, go where you can put four people. So it's two below the sidewalk.
Okay.
And then two even with the sidewalk.
Okay.
Again, thought it was going to be the new big thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, this is a little bit about why Oakland is always hesitant to build too much too quick, because of the the damage that was done with that.
Yeah.
And again, no fault to the people who put the wheels in motion and got it going, but it just didn't take off like they thought it was going to.
Oh, absolutely.
And it cost more than it was worth.
Yeah.
And again, nothing against it. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. We just don't sell them. And, but that's why at Oakland, we don't follow a ton of the trends. Like, we may put something new in, but it's going to be small, and it's until it fills up, we're not putting anything else in.
How many open do you think you have? How many are left?
Oh man. So singles are pretty much gone.
Okay.
So now we're selling they call them singles with Abbey, which is like a double depth one.
Okay.
And so we're selling those as singles, but you have to charge more because there's more room, right?
So what are you doing with that excess space?
Nothing. Yeah. We have a bunch of doubles left, a lot of the top row, who wants to go on the top, and please don't, because it's not easy to get up there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we'll talk about that as we move forward as far as equipment,
Yeah.
Like the ends were niches, and the niches went quick.
Yeah.
But we knew we weren't going to make a bunch of money, so we turned a whole one pillar to pillar, we turned whole one section of it into cremation niches.
Oh.
And we had a friend of ours build a bunch of shelving. And then we put the shelving, installed shelving in, glued it in, everything. And those became niches.
Out of wood, or what'd you do?
Out of plexiglass.
Plexiglass. That
makes sense. It wouldn't rust. It wouldn't. Yep. We can silicone everything in, solid.
Yeah, interesting. I've thought of that. We have three community mausoleum buildings, and there's, let's see here, 4 units high by 8 units, so that would be 32 on each side. So there's 64 crypts total per building. So then there's three of them. So we got, I don't know, what's that, 180, something like that. The last one we just built probably is about half full. The other ones are actually full. So we probably have about 32 left. We sell maybe 3 a year. So I can predict that we might sell out in about 10 years. So I do have in our master plan to throw another one up. They sell slowly, but they sell. There is people who come in the office and they do state, I want a full casket burial and I want to be above ground. I don't want to be below ground.
And I think the biggest thing that we were talking about yesterday with this is if you have the money for it, pay for it.
Yeah.
We didn't have the money at the time. The cemetery
taking out loans for it.
And they thought it was going to be this great thing and it was going to take off. So they thought, we'll take a loan, but because it's going to sell so fast, we'll pay that loan back immediately.
Yeah.
That didn't happen.
I agree. I know there's cemeteries out there that are trying to figure out we are slowing down. All I have are in-ground burial spaces and I don't have much money left. We need to do a columbarium at least, something. It's a difficult thing to take a loan out to put something up and just crossing your fingers that you sell them. That's me personally. I know that there's many people that think totally different. I know you can do some pre-sales on things.
That possibly would be my suggestion, is if you put it out there, in the community, at the church, in the newspaper, on the internet, something, and you get 25 phone calls of people like, hey, if you put this building up, we'd be very interested.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden you can be like, okay, maybe I'll put up a 32 or I'll put up a 25 and I'll take this loan, because right now I've got, 70% of these people are basically saying they're going to commit to me.
Yeah.
And then I can get a bunch of my money back. yeah. and get the loan paid for, and then maybe have some left over to start paying on a new building if that one fills up. But just, you know, like the biggest thing I say is don't get ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like, and again, we talk about this all the time, right? You can't just look at today. You have to look at 10 years, 20 years down the line, right?
Yeah.
But you also have to be smart about it.
That's exactly it. Yeah. I mean, I've been talking about that with my master planning, and I'm planning out the rest of the cemetery, but we're moving slow with it because, man, it does freak me out that, hey, I go and put everything on the rest of the 10 acres that I have left in the cemetery, and it's all plotted out for, you know, go in there and plot out and start doing burials and start, you know, putting up column bearings. And then all of a sudden some new trend comes. Oh my gosh, then you're SOL. Yeah. What do you do? I have nothing left to be able to accommodate that new trend. So that scares me. You're exactly right. And so some of these forays, like these cremation monuments that we're putting up, things like that, I'm just using a small area of the cemetery. Yeah. Let's try it out. Let's see if there's some interest. Because
you can always build more, right?
That's
you
exactly
can always it. Build more. And if it's going and there's money there, you can then you have money to build more.
Yep.
Right? But if you build 100 and you sell 15 for 15 years, now what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Then you have 85 left.
Yeah.
And what are you going to do with 85 cremation monuments?
Yep. Yeah, what do you exactly?
You don't know.
But
right?
not only what do I do with them? Because in spread in throughout that, somebody did buy something. So it's not like I can just take it up and start new.
Yeah.
I can't do that. And then also, that land is now forever taken. It's now the purpose of what you made it, and the purpose isn't good because no one wants it. And you're just like, okay, that's I guess that's my mark on the cemetery. This failed idea. So
that's why you start small, and then you make sure that you have everything in your computer for.
Yeah, look at that. We're right on time. Well, I love the segue. Thanks for hitting that. You're exactly right. Make sure you have all the information in your computer in Sims Information Management or Sims Cemetery Management software, because you can back up everything. You can document everything to precise GPS locations where everything is buried in your cemetery. Heck, I can put precise GPS locations of where all my markers and monuments are, where the burial actually is. So I mean, if you needed to do a disinterment of a cremated remains in 20, 30 years from now, I can go out there and figure out with GPS exactly where that thing is. Like, hey, I'll tell, you know, me, I won't actually be doing it. I'll tell my staff to go out there, but here's where you need to dig.
Yeah.
Make life. Or maybe in 20, 30 years, what I'll be doing is I'll send out an AI robot and tell them to go out and dig that cremation up.
Fly your drone over there and speak from the drone.
I'll tell you what, you know, this is all precursor. You know, if you get your cemetery all lined up with, you know, GPS capability and all GPS coordinated, when the craziness of AI and all the automated mowers and whatnot happen, you're all set. You're ready to go.
Yeah.
I recommend highly getting involved, digitizing your cemetery and using Sim Cemetery Management software. If you're ready to learn more and ready to streamline your cemetery's management, visit simcemeterysoftware.com.
All right, and as we come back, you know who's next. When it comes to honoring a life well lived, and every detail matters, that's why Paradise Pictures has been crafting premium, high-fired porcelain on steel portraits.
Why do we even say premium?
Since 1991.
We should just say the best.
Correct. And it's funny that we say this because I actually had a person ask me, I don't know, won't those things start to wear out after a few years? And then I said, well, let me tell you. And I basically said our whole spiel.
Why don't you listen to Cemetery Chronicles episode number 20?
And I gave them kind of everything that what we talk about right here. And they're like, that's amazing. If 1,240 degrees doesn't do it to it, then I get it. That's not going to fade.
Yeah,
and I said, you're correct. Right.
This thing could be on the surface of the sun.
Yeah, that's right. Whether it's monuments, markers, crypts, or glass front niches, Paradise Pictures offers a full suit of personalized memorialization solutions, including elegant bronze frames.
Which look really well on crypt fronts, like we're talking mausoleums and crypts.
As a proud member of the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries, they believe samples sell products. They're offering you your first job free of charge just for listening to us, which
amazing,
because if you're listening to us, we know that you are a good person and that you're pretty smart. So
pretty smart. You're a genius.
Yeah. So if you would like to get a hold of them, I'm telling you, cemeteries, monument companies that are listening to us, doesn't matter where you are. Paradise Pictures is in California. Our guy Scott lives here in Minnesota. He was on a few weeks ago. Go visit them at paradisepictures.com or call them at 1-800-960-8040. They will take care of you.
Perfect. And back to talking mausoleums here. Let's talk about it. So how high do your mausoleum, you go four high or you go even higher than that?
Nope. So the front, like I said, is three high. We have ABC in the front.
Oh, just and, three and, high. Okay.
Yep. And then, but it, then you go down steps to the back. So the front, you know, it's three high, but we do have that one below ground.
Oh, yeah.
So it's actually four tiers, really. Okay. Because A can be two four. And then the backside is four high, and again below ground at the sidewalk.
So you slide a casket in, and then it lowers down.
So there's bars that are pipes that are removable, like the galvanized pipe.
Yeah, okay.
That they are stuck into the concrete, so you have to so when we open up those bottom ones, if there's going to be four people, like we ask right away, is it for two, three, four? What's it going to be right? The hope is that they give you a straight answer right away, right? And that, you know, and the hope is that we need to know now.
This is
and
when they're purchasing it.
Correct. And that's what we tell them up front. We need to know now, because if you tell us it's for four, then the first person's going to go down and into the bottom. And if you want the second person on top, that's fine, but they're going to go top and all the way back.
Yeah.
But you have to understand, like, we have to remove stuff to get them in. And we would like to get the bottom filled first and then do the top tier. Now, if it's two families, sometimes it doesn't work that way, right? You know, husband passes, he's on the bottom. Well, then the other husband passes or his brother passes. Then he's going to go on the top in the back. Okay. And then the two wives will be in the front, bottom and top. So we have to, you know, the first thing we do is find out, you know, what it's for, three.
Let me ask then, if you have like brothers, like you said, so the two brothers pass and you, so you have them on top of each other. Now let's say the wife of the spouse of the guy who's on top dies. What do you do then?
Well, then we have to put it on top, and we'd probably have to take it out.
So you have to
Haven't had it happen yet.
Okay.
And so, like I said, the goal is to try to say the first two are going in the bottom.
Yeah, yeah.
Second two are going in the top.
Okay.
That's the goal, that, and we want to know, and we write it right on the contract away. They're interesting, okay?
Yeah.
They were meant for caskets in the 70s.
Okay.
Late 60s, early 70s, not the caskets of the 2021, 2025. So you have a fancy casket. Well, we kind of dread you coming to us.
Yeah.
Because they are hard to get in there.
Yeah. Just tight.
Wood is hard to get in there.
Interesting.
A solid oak casket, because you can only go in so far, and we put it on a board.
Okay.
And we slide it down the board, and the goal is to slide it down the board so far and then kind of roll the board up as it's going in, and then we lift with ropes, and we try to kind of, then you rope it down and pull the board out at the same time.
Oh my goodness.
And so it's kind of a finesse thing, but a lot of these caskets now have such a crown on them.
Yeah, yeah.
So all of a sudden you can be as, you know, perfect as you think, and you're right at that point now, and you're like, we're getting close to getting stuck here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's worked out every time so far, but we've broken boards, you know, because we keep going thinner and thinner with the board, so it's easier to slide out. So, yeah, it becomes a challenge.
Ooh, do you allow families to watch that?
No.
Yeah.
No, we ask them, and we just tell them, you know, we have to bring equipment in, stuff in. Like, we just prefer you're not here.
Oh, I mean, that you're making me so thankful that we have just the single crypts. I mean, all yeah. it is we're sliding a casket right into a
And
a
yours aren't
vault.
Double deep, right? You know? Double depth.
We don't have any double depth. I know people do have them, yeah. but no, we don't even have a double depth. So it's all single, and we just put some dowels or BBs or whatever you want on the ground and just slide right in. Whoop.
So when I first started working at, or actually coming down to the cemetery,
yeah,
I always would be like, why? Does my dad and the crew here have BB gun BBs in all their utility boxes of the truck or the little Cushman that they had? I could never figure out why they look like little milk crates.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, why do they have copper BBs in here? It doesn't make sense. Well, then all of a sudden one day my dad's like, hey, grab the BBs out. We got to throw them here because everything rolls a lot easier.
Yep,
and I thought,
casket
rolls that's
right
a really good idea.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it works out really well. It's nice for the singles. I can only imagine the doubles. I assume the ones that you have, probably, I don't know if I've ever heard that they make them anymore. Do you know that they make those where you can go below ground or under?
I don't know. This one was it. I don't think this one was from Cold Spring. I don't know where it was from.
Interesting.
You know, that was before my time.
I've never heard of it. So it'd be
I think
fascinating
it was a Canadian company, to be honest.
Okay.
I don't know for sure. And even if I did, I probably wouldn't say the name. Because they're not a sponsor here for us.
I'd be fascinated to see it.
But we could talk to, maybe when we have Gary on, we could ask him from Cold Spring. Might be a great question to ask while we're touring.
Oh, yeah.
Cold Spring.
That's true.
But yeah, I doubt it. Like I said, you know, because basically what I'm thinking is they were built on site, like as, you know, so they put those lower ones in.
Yeah.
And then they stack the next one. Then they pour the concrete up to it.
I have to imagine, too, that this was a really kind of a novel idea when you guys put it in the 60s.
Yeah. Again, and that was when my dad was high school.
Yeah.
You know, so he didn't really have part in that portion of it.
Yeah.
There was a barn there at one time. He remembers the barn and the house that was right there.
Yeah.
And the barn was where they kept a lot of the equipment.
Okay.
And then they built the we had a lovely brick building with greenhouses where our building stands now. It was turned a little bit. It was beautiful brick building. I don't know what was wrong with it that they tore it down,
because
now we have a tin can is what I like to call it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why they tore it down. It was gorgeous.
Yeah,
you know, I put some of those pictures on from last year.
Yeah.
I mean, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Wish they would have kept it, but they didn't. So they moved, you know, a lot of the equipment then down to that shed and then tore down that barn. And then that's when they started the project of the wall crypts. They made a street in front of it, sidewalks to it.
Yeah.
You know, I don't really have, I should look and see if we have like photos at how it was all, because like I took photos when he put our new niches up in 2012 or whatever, just like, here's the foundation, here's the, you know, all the open things before they wrap it with a granite, you know, all the niches fronts open, and then here's what it looked like when they put the end caps on. But I took a lot of pictures there just because I thought, well, this is kind of a cool thing to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
For the cemetery. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know how they would have done it, to be honest.
And even the granite they picked, because they picked a blue pearl, I believe, on the outside, right?
Pearl and
that's unique
Sierra
1960,
White.
Though. But to bring blue pearl in from Norway.
Yeah, you know how expensive that was?
Oh, it had to have been an enormous cost.
Yeah. So, needless to say, the new niches are charcoal or not. They're not blue pearl.
I mean, they're beautiful, though.
Yeah, yeah. It is, but again, it's hard, right? Because we don't have a lot of income coming from that building.
Yeah.
And
we've
been talking off air before this and about it, but they're a lot to maintain.
Hey, can I ask what, I mean, not to get into pricing, but what do you charge for an interment? Is it the same entombment cost as an interment cost?
No.
Or you have different?
No. I think we're like $1,400-$1,500 somewhere in there. So
it's less.
We're less than what our standard like internment cost is.
Is interesting.
But really, all we're doing is pulling a cover off, setting it down on a display, and then sliding the casket in, and then sealing it, and then putting the cover back. So the timing is, you know, a lot less. But you still have to have a couple people, and you know, I talked to you about this. Like, we don't have a lift.
That was my next question. So on your third high, how do you guys do
that? Well, the fourth high in the back is the hardest. We put the casket across either a truck or UTV or whatever we have, and then heave it up. And usually it's just two of us.
Oh, goodness. How often do you have one on that fourth row?
Very rare. Very rare.
Well, you know, what you should be doing is just give me a call and we'll bring your lift over.
Yeah, because it's not fun. I've had to do it on Saturdays, you know, and funeral director's like, wait, where's your lift? And I'm like, right here. I flex at him. And he's like, there's no way you guys are putting that solid oak casket up in that top. And I'm like, there's a way. I said, because we're not going to let this thing fall. So
No, I'm like dead serious. You just give me a call because it doesn't happen that often. I mean, we have it. So we go four high in all our crypts.
So you guys have a scissor lift then?
We have a scissor lift. It has rollers that sit right on it. So you can utilize it for other things. So we can take those rollers off, and then we put guardrails on the side, and you can use the scissor lift if you want to, like, trim trees or whatever. Or you know, it's...
Well, I want to hang some Christmas lights. So how high does it go?
I mean, it goes really high. I mean, we hang the Christmas lights all around the office in the peak of our office. I mean, I know it goes higher than that fourth crypt. I mean, we can go all the way to, you know, we could go all the way to the top and go onto the roof of the.
Is it on tires?
Yeah.
Okay. So then, like, you can drive it on a trailer.
Yeah.
If you had to
pull it up on a trailer. So it's not, it doesn't, you either pull it, or we put also fork pockets on it. So we have a bobcat with a forklift.
So then you'll fork it right over there. Because it drives slow, right?
Yep. Exactly. So we fork it right in place. And to be honest, we utilize it so that the family, when they bring the casket out, they place the casket right on the lift.
The
family, and we have it multiple, I mean, family typically always wants to watch that thing get placed. We just raise it right up to the thing, slide it right in, boom.
So there's
done.
Room to stand on the side.
So there's these two, so there's pockets on it, and there's these steps that basically slide on the side that we have to put in, and then we have to secure it in. But then, so we have guys that stand on both sides, and then they go up with the casket, and then they just slide it right in. It works out really well.
Do you put a green or anything around
We have a green that
like
goes around.
That
so it
goes
looks,
around.
Yeah, it
so
looks
it
like
looks
a device.
And
yeah.
then you take the skirt off when you're going up.
Yep,
wow.
yep, exactly. So
that's
it looks
pretty
like
nice.
Just like a device. And now we created something that the rollers will go on for when it's on the bottom level so that the casket's sitting on the bottom level and it'll slide right into the bottom crypt. So we don't use our lift for that, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for the second level, it's almost the same size as our lift. We just have to raise it up maybe an inch, but the third and fourth level, boom.
So do they harness in then, the guys? Or
yes, they harness in.
I mean, in the 25 years I've worked at the cemetery, I think I've only put five people on the top row.
Oh, really?
You know, like maybe six.
Okay.
And the front top row, like, I can get on a step ladder. And all, you know, basically put it in by myself. So then we just have a little machine, like one of our UTVs, and we just put the casket across, and we back up and we push it in. Like it's nothing.
Okay.
It's the back one that can be tough sometimes, especially like I said, if it's on a Saturday or something.
Yeah.
Now that I know you have that, I may hit you up for that.
Well, like I said, we do three, like you probably similar to you, three or four a year.
Yeah.
So that lift sits and does nothing. All So.
But I do need to hang Christmas lights, so I might utilize that for you too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It could go right in the back. We have a trailer even that would fit, so we could bring it right over to you.
I got
that's
a couple
a
trailers.
Problem.
I'm not worried about that. I'm just worried about what the charge is to borrow it.
Well, yeah, don't worry about that. You'll see the bill in the mail. Don't worry.
Well, that's interesting because, I mean, everybody does it different, right? And, like, I've been by a Catholic cemetery. I don't want to sit and name names, but I've been by there, and they've had a lift because they're pretty high.
Yeah.
And they've had their lift, you know, going up, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I could use one of those.
Yeah,
you know? But theirs is high. Yeah. You know, like, they don't have a lot of room, so, you know, I want to say it's six or eight, but it's, you know, only one building.
Yeah, I bet ours could go that high. I'll tell you what, though. I hate height. I mean, I shouldn't say I hate heights, but you get up there and that thing's swinging back and forth. That's not my thing, man.
So I put a bunch of stuff. We put heated the heated wiring through all the gutters on the shop at the cemetery.
Yeah.
You know, on our building, just so if they ever froze, the gutters froze up, we could flick those on. Yeah. Then we got the bill when we left them on one night.
Gee,
those things don't get turned on very often, needless to say, because the bill was major. But we rented a lift, like a lull, the drivable lull, and we did that. And I'm not a heights person either. And that, you know, like, but you, what I don't like about the low part is, like, I'm getting close to a building and I want to slow it down a little bit. And then I take my hands off the controller and all of a sudden we go 3 more inches. Yeah. And I'm like, whoa, what the heck's going on?
Yeah.
You know, you're like lean and you start wobbling back and forth. And I'm like, first off, I just move, like, I'm pushing on the building all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah.
And one of our guys actually hit the building and he's like, I had my hands off when I was in 6 inches and it kept going because it just, you know, it doesn't stop, it's not perfect, right? And so those are a little dicey. But when we tore the old office out of our chapel, no one would go to the center of the scaffolding to knock everything down. I did, so I was swinging on the outside knocking boards down, and I remember looking down. And again, not super high, but high enough to where I was like, man, this is not good.
Yeah, I don't like it. But even having to go up there, because our mausoleums, you take, you know, before you have the burial, they're basically, think of a grave box. Basically, it's a cement, you know, column, and you're sliding the casket into this column, but on the back side of it, you have to puncture holes into – there's a ventilation system on the back side. Luckily, our new one – so what they did – we have two older units that were built in the 90s, early 2000s. And what they did is they just – they kind of put in – when they laid the cement, they put in two spots that were kind of a little bit weaker. So you had to go back there and you have to have like a chisel and a hammer. And you're climbing into this crypt. You're going six feet in, seven feet in. You know, it's not – nothing, but you're still you're like, you're in there, it's dark, and you're trying to find this spot that just is a little bit weak, and it just, you're sweating because usually
it's
hot.
Terrible design.
So our new one that they put in 10 years ago or so, they put these blue plastic plugs. All you have to go back there and find them and just pull them. Boom.
That's what the one from 1970 there, 68 that we have.
Oh, are you serious?
Plastic plug. So they have two down below and then two up high.
Yeah.
And the down below are if there's ever any water or anything or whatever else in there. And then the two up high are ventilation.
So all we have are ventilation plugs in ours. And our caskets will sit then in a plastic tray when we slide it in. And then there's actually an absorbent cloth underneath that casket too.
And that's covered by you guys, right? But does that come with the building when you bought the building? Or are you're purchasing that?
We're purchasing
on your own.
On our own.
Okay.
For every, so we have, you know, three or four on hand all the time.
Where do you get something like that from?
Those plastic trays we get from Wilbert.
Oh, you do?
They sell them. Yeah. And then the absorbent cloths, it's just like you can get from like Uline or something like that. It's basically the same exact thing as if you were to have, you know, absorbent cloths in your garage that picks up oil and things like that. So,
yeah, probably a lot of hospital stuff have.
Yeah.
I don't, I can be, I mean, like I said, we have to open them up a lot to put a second one in. I've yet to see one that had any water, any fluid, or anything in it.
I'll tell you what, we did a disentombment 4 or 5 years ago. They were bringing it to another cemetery, pulled out. So it was a husband and wife. Wife was fine. Husband pulled out. The tray was full of liquid. I don't know what causes it. You know what I mean? It's what do you do? So
yeah, that's wild. I don't know what that would have, what that would be. I mean, like, what would cause something like that?
It's just body fluid. I think he was a heavier guy, and I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that, because like I said, we've opened them up, right?
Yeah.
I mean, some don't smell great on that when you open them back up, and I've told this story a million times. The first funeral when I was a kid.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm walking around the corner and I'm helping my dad at the cemetery. I'm 9 years old, right? I come stomping around the corner down the steps. And we get around the corner and I'm like, oh, look at, there's a casket. And then we get up there and I'm going, I'm like, what is that? You know, and the funeral director's there and my dad's like, shut up. You know, he's trying to get me to be quiet. And I'm like, what does that smell? Yeah. You know, and my dad's like, knock it off. But it was a second burial. And the other one was like 1 or like maybe 2 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so that's when you get a little whiff. Otherwise, like the ventilation, normally after a year or two, like it's not much of an issue.
Yeah.
But like sometimes when you have a couple that are fairly close, like then you're like, whew.
We get a little smell. Like I said, we unplug those plugs in the back, and then the ventilation goes to the top on the roof. And there's occasionally we go up there and we're trying to, you know, clean off branches and just clean off it to see if there's any water up there, sitting water, to make sure that, you know, it's not. And I tell everybody to go up there, don't get close to those vents, man, because you do. Rough.
Yeah, that's why I don't know. Those buildings sometimes are weird to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, I get it, but there's sometimes I'm like, this is kind of weird, right?
You're exactly right. And then also you get the question, and I think about it too, like what happens if a tornado hits your cemetery? You know, you think about that with columbariums, mausoleums, things like that. But at the same time too, these things are made of pure granite. I mean,
cement wrapped in granite.
If there's one place you want to be in the middle of a tornado, it's probably in the middle of that
inside
building.
There,
exactly.
That'd probably be the last place that would go. All the trees all around it, and monuments probably around it, small ones will be going, and that thing will be still standing.
Bill, you're exactly right. It might be maybe the granite placards at the front of maybe cracks, but you know, you can always replace that. I don't think that there'd be an issue with
I don't think you'd go. That'd probably be the best place to be, really.
Yeah, I agree. And you get that question a lot, and that's kind of how I answer it. I said, you know, if there was a tornado, that's the place I'd want to be in the cemetery.
Yeah, that's where I would like to be.
But I agree with you. I mean, if something were to take this thing down, I don't know. That'd be a bad scenario.
Yeah.
You know, if you're, that's, I mean, to be honest, we had two huge oak trees by our mausoleums, community mausoleums, and one, a big branch fell down, totally missed our columbarium in mausoleum, but it laid right in front of it. And I was like, oh my gosh, if that thing were to hit this columbarium, I don't know what would have happened. And so I immediately called our arborist, and he came out and they tore those things down, and they were hollow as can be there. So I was like, oh, I feel good. I've gotten rid of all the large trees around all our columbariums.
Yeah, we don't, be honest, we got a huge pine tree and then a couple crab apples in front.
But even a pine tree is not going to do anything to it.
No, it shouldn't. Yeah. Shouldn't. That's all we have around ours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had big oak trees around it, and that scared me to death when that thing came down.
I could believe it.
Yeah. So, I mean, but thing is, you know, things can happen out in the cemetery. My goodness. My daughter's really going to town.
She's got some lungs on her. I like it. You better ask your wife what she's doing, pinching her up there or what? I love it.
Yeah. But yeah, so community mausoleums, and then you obviously tuck pointing. You guys do tuck pointing around yours? How often?
Yeah, we have to do it a lot, it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of separation happens. Like, that's what it's hard for me to justify, like, if you don't have money to pay for something like that right away and you're not going to get your investment back immediately.
Yeah.
Super hard for me to, like, put a lot of that stuff in because that building is, it costs money, right?
Yep.
Like now we're at, you know, now we're, so we're, it was in 68 or so it was put in. So you're talking 55 years now.
Yeah.
Right. So now the aggregate that they put in, cause they put in aggregate and then they put in granite steps and all they are blue pearl, but sanded blue pearl.
Yeah.
Still slippery as heck sometimes. Yeah. Excuse me. And, but everything now is starting to kind of deteriorate a little bit. Like I could see in the next 10 years, I have to redo all the cement all around there.
Yeah.
That's going to cost
like the sidewalks.
Yeah. $100,000. Easy. Yeah. I mean, we put a handicap accessible for the back. Again, built in the 70s. And it was like, do we dig one in the middle of our regular stairs, or do we just add one on a side where they can, you know, get to the back?
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know. It's a lot. And there, I don't see those sales happening at this point. You know, like I would, at this point where we're at, and we don't even do a lot of cremation.
In our
I would put in
a columbarium.
A columbarium over a community mausoleum.
Obviously, there's caveats to that. This is our location in Minnesota. It seems like they just don't sell as much. I can only imagine there's other locations in the United States that they go hotcakes.
Down south, especially,
I'm sure.
New Orleans, that's kind of all they use down there.
But they're also at the same point, if you're in our area and the sales, but are lower However, you're a cemetery who's just running out of room, doesn't have many rooms for more burials, and people want full casket burials, it might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
You can, because you can do so many more burials because you're just building up.
Yeah.
However, I think it's a tough spot. I mean, you may want to give the option for folks, yeah, but don't go overboard.
Yeah, and like I said, if you're going to put one up reasonably small.
Yeah.
And then if it like if you can, you know, get do a pre-sale, if you know, do whatever you can to get the word out that you have it, see what the interest is, and then go from there.
And if you're
right?
doing it too on the exterior walls, put cremation niches.
Yeah.
You might as well incorporate that. You probably can get those cremation niches for a little less because you're already paying for that back wall of granite on it. Why the heck not put some cremation niches and sell those? Because cremation
niches. That's what they did
at
this one in the you know, late 60s, early 70s. The end caps on each one are cremation niches.
And they were thinking niches even back in the 60s and 70s. That's really progressive thinking.
But they're cement board. Like they just cement board shelves is how they were built.
Yeah.
And the shelves were not deep.
Really?
Right? Like they were big. You know, a lot bigger than any columbarium you can buy now.
Yeah.
As far as width and height.
Yeah.
But depth, I mean, they're, gosh, 10 inches.
Oh, really?
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They're not nearly like, you know, like our columbarium, I feel like, is one of the bigger ones. And it still is only like a foot deep.
Yeah,
you know,
we have double depth ones that are double that, so 24 inches. But you're exactly right. That's interesting. That should be another episode where we talk columbariums, because there's a lot to be talking about with columbariums. But that's amazing to me. In the 60s and 70s, you guys were thinking that's really progressive thinking.
It was and wasn't. You know, it was and wasn't, right? Like, it was a great idea. Would have been better if it was paid for.
I mean, the columbariums.
But I mean, but to have them think of any of that stuff, you know, and to like go and do it, right? And then, like you said, to order that blue pearl, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think they may have gotten talked into it a little bit.
Yeah.
But to order blue pearl and, you know, wrap it with Swedish blue pearl, I mean, that's kind of, you know, pretty crazy, right?
Yeah. It's beautiful.
But it does look good, but again, a lot of work and a lot of maintenance.
Yeah. Well, we're coming to the end here, Bobby. You got any parting thoughts?
No. I'm just excited. You know, like Dominic said, we're not going to give anything away. Probably have an announcement in the next few weeks or a month or so after we meet as a board and go over some options we have for our next year's conference in 2026. And again, I'm retiring. and I'm not going to be the president after September.
We got other positions for you, Bobby. We're ready to throw you right into.
So, you know, I'm excited about that, and I'm just excited to where our board is at.
Doesn't mean you're retiring from the podcast.
Yeah, no, the podcast I'm still doing, and I'm still working at the cemetery. Yeah. Just retiring from the Mac board. But I'll still be a part of that stuff, and I'm just super excited where everything's at. And you know, once we meet and let our board vote on it, and I'm pretty excited about where we're going to head for 2026.
Yeah, just tease that out there.
Yeah, we're going in a great direction, and I'm really excited to where things are.
And the other thing is, if you made it this far in the podcast and you're thinking, I thought these fools were going to be interviewing a John Paul.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
We should probably mention that.
We should say that, yeah. John's under the weather.
Yeah, he thinks he may have that new COVID strain, so his voice was gone, so he was unable to join us this week.
Yeah.
So we're rescheduling. We'll figure it out. We'll get John Polo on.
We hyped him up, and then we never even talked about it.
We didn't even talk about it until the end here.
Everyone's like, when is he coming in? Is he coming in anytime soon? Oh, that's funny. So, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah.
You know, we're trying to make sure we had something to talk about for the full hour, which with us, we just babble on and on. but we didn't even think to mention that at the beginning. But
didn't. That's all right. But know that we're going to be rescheduling with him, and we'll figure out a time, but we'll have John.
And he'll be a great listen. So
he will be a great listen. Yeah. So I apologize for all those who listened this whole episode. Like, I was just listening for John and you guys never interviewed him.
I don't want to listen to you fools.
I understand that. I understand that if that's the case.
Yeah. Too.
All right, everybody, y'all have a good week. We'll see you next week.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. Please subscribe to our podcast so you are notified when new shows are posted. If you would like to get a hold of us, please email us at info@thecemeterychronicles.com.
When it comes to honoring a life well lived, every detail matters. That's why Paradise Pictures has been crafting premium, high-fired porcelain on steel portraits since 1991. Built to last a lifetime, guaranteed against any damage. Whether it's monuments, markers, crypts, or glass front niches, Paradise Pictures offers a full suite of personalized memorialization solutions, including elegant bronze frames. As a proud member of the Minnesota Association of Cemeteries, they believe samples sell products, so they're offering you a free first job just for listening. Visit ParadisePictures.com or call 1-800-960-8040 to request yours today. Paradise Pictures, preserving memories beautifully.
Managing a cemetery comes with a lot of responsibilities, but with Sims, it doesn't have to be overwhelming. Sims Cemetery software helps you keep track of burial records, maps, and maintenance tasks all in one secure, easy-to-use system. With intuitive mapping, secure record keeping, and cloud-based access, Sims makes organization simple. Ready to see how Sims can make you streamline your cemetery operations? Visit SimsCemeterySoftware.com to learn more. Also, if you mention that you heard about us on the Cemetery Chronicles podcast, Sims will give you a 10% discount on a new software license.
For over 125 years, Cold Spring has collaborated with death care professionals to deliver innovative permanent memorial solutions that honor family legacies. Their domestic quarries and fabrication facilities ensure a predictable supply chain while providing quality craftsmanship and personal service. They provide custom memorials, columbariums, mausoleums, cemetery enhancements, helping cemeteries and monument retailers make their mark by creating timeless tributes that stand the test of time. With innovative design tools like personal reflections and dedicated support, they make it easy to bring families' visions to life while streamlining your business. Experience unmatched expertise, innovation, and dedication in memorial design with Cold Spring.